So today we're going to take a look at 2 Kings 20, and we read at the start how Hezekiah is sick, and later Marduk-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sends a get-well card and a gift to Hezekiah. And this was really about getting the kingdom of Judah onto the side of the Babylonians against the Assyrians. So this just wasn't just a nice sort of caring gesture. This was about what the Babylonians could get for themselves. They basically just wanted Hezekiah to be an ally to an anti-Assyrian coalition. And we see in the previous chapter, chapter 19, how Hezekiah prays to the Lord, and the angel of the Lord goes out and puts to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp, which is quite an amazing thought, isn't it, if you actually imagine that. Puts to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. So the king of Assyria actually breaks camp and withdraws and returns to Nineveh. So this wasn't just the Babylonians doing a nice gesture. There was an agenda that they had. They wanted Hezekiah to be on their side against the Assyrians. And Hezekiah was pleased, and he shows the embassy that is sent around the place, and he shows the silver, the gold, the spices, the aromatic oils, and his stockpile of weapons. So he actually gives this Babylonian embassy a guided tour of all of his prized possessions. And in fact, the word says that there wasn't a thing that Hezekiah didn't show them in his palace or kingdom. And I don't know about you, but when I read this story, I kind of visualize it as though I'd be watching a TV program. And I find myself kind of screaming out, "No, Hezekiah, what are you doing? You know, these are the bad guys. You're letting them in the palace. You're showing them everything, all your prized possessions, you know, and they're not on your side, you know?" And of course, Hezekiah does this. He shows them all these things. He lets the enemy in, of course, not knowing what's going to happen and the disaster that will follow. So why did King Hezekiah do this? Well, Babylon was like a superpower, and Judah was lowly in comparison. So this would have been a big deal for King Hezekiah. And perhaps he felt a little bit intimidated by the Babylonians, like he needed to prove his own greatness. And perhaps he wanted to make a good impression. He wanted them to be impressed with what he had achieved. And this made me think about how sometimes we might be in situations with other people where we feel a little bit intimidated. Has anyone ever felt that way before? And we might feel like we have to prove our greatness or what we've achieved, or just prove even that we're worthy of respect, that we should be looked upon well, or perhaps even that we should be valued by them. And perhaps sometimes we want to feel that way for everyone else to see us as valuable, as someone who matters. And I wanted to remind us today that we need to remember that Jesus sees us as so valuable, so worth investing in. We are so important to him that he gave his life for us. He gave us the Holy Spirit, or the Paraclete, to come alongside us. He is alive in us. John 14:15-17, this is Message translation. "I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend, so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth." Isn't that wonderful? And he goes on to say, "I'm in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you." As we accept Jesus as our Savior, we're accepted. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have that promise of eternal life. We know that no matter what happens to us, whatever sicknesses we face, however we may suffer, that we have a promise of eternal life with our Savior. So what gifts we all have that God has given us, whether we have smaller houses or larger houses, whether we're on small salaries or large salaries, we all have these gifts from God, wherever we are from, whatever we look like. And what an investment to help us achieve the things that actually matter to God. Acts 17:26 talks about how God is not far from any one of us, and we are his people. Psalm 103, know this, God is God, and God, he made us and we didn't make him. We're his people, well-tended sheep. You are valued by the Creator, and we need to remember this. When it comes to wanting people to see or understand what we've achieved, or to prove ourselves to them and get them to look upon us well, you know, God sees everything in our lives. And some of you heard about Women Prayer Congress last week, and when I was with them in Leeds last weekend, you know, we were just reminding each other that God sees everything behind the scenes, and he sees the things that you've done for him, and he sees the sacrifices. And you know what? That's what really matters. We don't need to worry about what others think. And you know, we all have the same Creator. We've all been made by God, and God knows all of our mistakes too. Romans 3:23, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Yet we all have access to his presence and his goodness. And that still amazes me every day, even though I've grown up in church. So perhaps we sometimes need to remind ourselves that your job, or not having a job, or struggling to get one at the moment because of everything with COVID, that does not define your value and worth to God. And I want to encourage you to focus on God's love for you, because you are important to him. If you're feeling rejected, God's arms are open to you. What others may think or say about you does not define your value and worth to God. That excites me. What a blessing. Someone can treat you badly, but they can't take away that you're a child of God. And you know, maybe we're putting things out on social media, especially in our society today, there's so much of wanting to impress everyone, wanting to be accepted, wanting to have a following, making sure we're getting lots of comments and likes, you know, doing the best TikToks, Instagram stories, all of this, making ourselves look physically good as possible, and that focus on our image, making sure that we're perceived well, perceived as worth following, as being worthwhile. But you know, sometimes we can get so caught up in what we have, what we own, how we are perceived, how we want to be perceived, our image, or even what we've managed to obtain, that actually we forget what really matters to God, and that is our obedience. Loving Jesus with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. Not prioritizing all the things that this world tells us are good. And, you know, we've talked before about living a life of service and how worldly success is not the same as godly success. And that what matters to God is not our salary level, not all the things that we earn, not getting all the promotions. It's serving him, being obedient to him. So what people think about us, or how much value they assign to us, should not be our concern. Our focus needs to be on listening to what God is saying and doing what he asks us to do, to crack on with the mission that he has given to each one of us. And sometimes we might have to remind ourselves that, you know, if we get a little bit of hate mail, I know of some people that have had that experience because they've spoken God's word, and they've spoken the truth into certain situations. Hezekiah did everything that he could to try and impress the Babylonians, and look how that turned out for him, for his nation. Trying to impress everyone is not the way, and it can be exhausting, when we need to focus actually on what God has asked us to do. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:3, be assured that when we speak to you, we're not after crowd approval, only God approval. So whose approval are we after? Yeah. Some say that Hezekiah was being prideful when he took the Babylonians around, and that, you know, Hezekiah was showing everything out of pride, like, look what I've done, look what I have, look at my greatness. And maybe you feel like you have a ministry in something, or certain gifts of the Spirit. And I would just like to say that sometimes we just need to be careful about how we present that, and that it's not something to go bragging about. 1 Corinthians says, if anyone's going to boast, let him boast only of what the Lord has done. Let our boast be in the Lord. Proverbs 16:18, pride comes before a fall, or pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. That means, you know, arrogantly superior and disdainful or self-important. But I'd like to ask here, could it perhaps be that rather than Hezekiah feeling very important and prideful, that this could have been a little bit more about how Hezekiah actually is made to feel important by the Babylonians? Perhaps he's flattered and they make him feel good about himself. They've sent him this get well card and present, and now the great, super powerful Babylonians have sent an embassy and he's getting this visit. So he opens up the palace, lets them in, shows them all around, not realizing that he's actually letting the enemy in, that these people are going to plunder everything. And sometimes we let the enemy in and we don't realize, or we don't see it, or we're blinded. Maybe because the situation or that person or spirit makes us feel valued, feel important, feel good, feel like we matter or like we're appreciated. Maybe because the situation or person makes us feel like they have something that we feel we need. Or maybe, in fact, just because we like it. In fact, some commentators say that perhaps Hezekiah was just really fond of them. And though they were idolaters, Hezekiah was okay with this sense of intimacy that he showed them all his prized possessions. And this made me think a little bit about con artists. And, you know, I know of some very intelligent, successful people that have been fooled by con artists. And sometimes we can be fooled, can't we? We can be fooled by the enemy. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11 about Satan doing it all the time, how he dresses up as a beautiful angel of light. And then he talks about pseudo-servants of God. He talks about pseudo-apostles, lying preachers, crooked workers, posing as Christ's agents, but sham to the core. And so we know that, you know, we can be fooled sometimes. But Isaiah asks in verse 14, and just what were these men doing here? Where did they come from and why? So Isaiah wants to know, who actually are these people? And you know, sometimes perhaps we just need to stop and take a moment to think things through and ask ourselves, is this the person, place or time to share this, or to share this with? Who and what am I really letting into my life? Who am I opening up to and sharing with? And is this the really the best idea? Do I need to just perhaps keep some boundaries in place? I think I've mentioned this before, but I used to work once on an absence line, and the students would ring in sick, and you know, you'd record that they weren't going to be in that day because they were sick. And sometimes there was just so much detail on these calls. And rather than just ringing and saying, oh, I'm sick today, I'm not going to be able to make it in, or, you know, I'm a bit poorly today, it would be, well, I woke up at 2 a.m. and I went to the toilet and I threw up 3 times. And it would go on and on. And sometimes we'd be in the office just laughing because they'd go into gruesome detail. And you'd just be like, you didn't need to share all of that detail. And sometimes you just need to think a little bit about how much we're sharing, and sometimes if all those details are really necessary. We just need to pray for a little bit of wisdom sometimes about how we share. And I was chatting with my dad about this recently, and as many of you know, he's released Pastor's Library on YouTube. Yeah, I'd encourage you to check out the most recent episode and share it with everyone. It's a fantastic little YouTube show. And my dad was talking about some of the other kind of videos that he'd seen, you know, when he was researching before he released this. And he was saying about how there was another pastor that was kind of sharing this book and then all of a sudden opened up about all his anger issues and kind of went on about this a couple of times. And we were kind of laughing because we said, it's not really the best time to go into that. When you're talking about your library as a pastor and then you're telling everyone on the video about your anger issues. And we had a little bit of a laugh about this. And, you know, sometimes we do just need to think, is this the appropriate time, place, or audience? And we don't see Hezekiah actually just thinking it through before he opens up all the palace to the Babylonians and gives them a look around everywhere and shares all this stuff with them. Verse 12, shortly after this, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, having heard that the king was sick, sent a get-well card and a gift to Hezekiah. Hezekiah was pleased and showed the messengers around the place. So if we just look at that verse there, straight away after this get-well card and a gift, there's this visit where Hezekiah is then, you know, straight away showing them all his prized possessions. So perhaps actually there was a bit of a sense of excitement that he had. Hezekiah says, they came far away from Babylon. And what did they see in your place? Everything, says Hezekiah. There isn't anything I didn't show them. I gave them the grand tour. So perhaps there is this sense that Hezekiah just thinks this is really exciting, and he allows this feeling of excitement to cloud his thinking. Have you ever been through that before? The Enduring Word commentary puts it this way. He was like a small town boy who was awed by the attention of a big city man. Isaiah, you should have seen how impressed those Babylonians were by all I have. They really know we are something here in Judah. Maybe he's thinking, ah, yeah, the Babylonians like me now. I've got in there with the Babylonians. May I suggest that we ensure that we just take some time to think things through, asking God to give us wisdom and the Holy Spirit to guide us, even in the simple things. Always having open ears and an open heart. And we know that we need to regularly be praying and reading his word. And sometimes we may not realize that we can't see things for what they really are. Like Hezekiah didn't really in this situation. But you know, the Holy Spirit can warn us. The Holy Spirit can warn us, just be careful here. Just back away. This isn't quite what it appears to be. And you know, I'm so glad of that because I can think of some occasions in my life where that's happened and the Holy Spirit has warned me. And I know that many of you will have had that experience too. And it's a wonderful thing that we have this friend that is looking out for us. Perhaps the Babylonians were taking advantage of Hezekiah's weakened state. The fact that he'd been very sick and they sent this gift and card. And we know he was very sick because we read earlier on that he was going to die. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 11 says, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. We know that the devil will take every opportunity to attack. And we know sometimes it doesn't always look like we imagine. We know we need to guard our hearts, guard our minds. And sometimes we're not always on top form, and that can make it a little bit harder if we're tired, if we're weary. But you know, God is good and he will help us. He gives us wisdom. And sometimes when we're in what we might feel like is a weakened state, we just need to perhaps ask God and those even closest to us maybe, you know, what do you think about this? Maybe we just need to ask some godly people around us just to help make sure that we are seeing things clearly. Verse 16 to 18, then Isaiah spoke to Hezekiah, listen to what God has to say about this. The day is coming when everything you own and everything your ancestors have passed down to you, right down to the last cup and saucer, will be cleaned out of here, plundered and packed off to Babylon. God's word. Worse yet, your sons, the progeny of your sons you've begotten, will end up as eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And four chapters later in our Bibles, we see how the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, take the king of Judah and his family prisoner, and they take all the treasures. And I just want to encourage you today, because maybe you're in here and you've been fooled, or you feel like you've been conned, or you feel like you've been attacked by the enemy. I just want to encourage you that there is healing and hope for you. Maybe you made a mistake and you weren't really thinking clearly and you're feeling shame or regrets today. I just want to encourage you that God has open arms for you. And you know, I thought Karen and I were praying this morning in our early morning prayer meeting before the service starts. And I just thought about Samson and Delilah and how Samson let the enemy into his life. And yet we see that he's still mentioned in the Heroes of Faith in Hebrews 11. And after his mistake, he still achieves something great. He still destroys those Philistines. And I just want to encourage some of you that maybe feel regret or like you've let the enemy into your life in the past, that there is hope for your future and you can move forward and you can still achieve great things with God and for his kingdom. Look at Samson. And there is hope and there is healing for you. So keep moving forward. And what is wonderful is that we are always safe with God. There's no hidden agendas. God does not want to take from us. It's quite the opposite. He's always working for our good. He's righteous and true. He's not a God who plays us and takes advantage of our weaknesses. And you know, we live in a world where it's kind of normal, isn't it, for people to use each other. But we know that that is not the way of Jesus. We know that that is not the way that we should live. And in fact, Babylon is described, read one commentator describe Babylon as being gold thirsty, looking to see what they could get. But we know that that is not God's way. That is not our way. That instead of looking for what we can get from others, we actually look for what we can give and how we can bless others. And we have the privilege as God's children of showing a better way. So if you've been fooled or hurt or you feel like something's been stolen from you, I want to encourage you that God has healing for you and every day is a new day. So let's keep our guard up. Remember to guard our hearts, guard our minds, and not let the enemy in. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your goodness and your faithfulness and your grace and mercy to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that whatever has happened in our past, that there is hope for the future. And we thank you, Lord, for the way in which you bring healing into our lives. And God, we pray as a people that you would give us wisdom, Lord, and discernment. In Jesus' name, help us to guard our hearts and guard our minds against the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen.